Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for people who play with needles. It's what we do. It's what we do. So our guests this week, really excited here, Preston and Grace Lynch. And their business, Painted Canvases, is two sisters. Was it two sisters Needlepoint? How do we do that?
Two Sisters Needlepoint.
Two Sisters Needlepoint. So, okay, so Preston, say hi so we can hear your voice.
Hi, I'm Preston.
Okay, and Grace?
Hi, I'm Grace.
There we go. Clearly sisters. Okay, we'll never keep these straight. Yeah, that's not going to happen. Okay. So you guys, this is a weird thing because your dad is a designer. And yes. You guys do designing and have a business. And I get a sense your mom just puts up with all of it.
Basically. Yeah, kind of.
Because that's not normally how it works. So.
No, we're a little backwards in our household, but we have fun.
Does she do any stitching?
She used to. When we were younger, she would do belts for her friends or baby sleeping signs, but she doesn't anymore.
She's had enough of you guys.
Yes.
So it's interesting to me because your dad is a designer. And then, you know, the typical kid thing is to do the opposite. Like, I'm not doing that. So how is it that you guys not only obviously stitch, but to the point where you have your own business? I mean, that's – you guys just go against the grain on everything, basically, is what we're saying.
That's the way we like it. But basically, my dad and I were really close when I was younger. And I mean, we still are, but I would see him needlepointing and designing, and I would be in his store if I was sick or something. And it was kind of a monkey see, monkey do sort of thing. And I saw him and I was like, well, I want to do that. I need to do that. And then Grace is the monkey do to my monkey see. And she did the same things. And we were always creative kids. Like, what do you like to say, Grace? The needlepointing is like an adult coloring book.
Basically, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like color by number.
Yeah. So we always were really creative little kids, and we like to color, we like to paint, and do all that sort of thing. So needlepoint was a logical inclusion of that and just fit right in.
Okay. And you had a store. Your dad's going to do a show with us here in the near future. But so he had a store, so you had an ideal playground then.
Yeah, he had a store from the time I was born up until I was in like fifth grade.
Yeah, I was in second grade when he stopped the store.
Yeah, so then he came home and designed exclusively.
Okay. So fake sick from school and go play in dad's store. I got it.
Exactly.
Work the system, we call that. Work the system. Yeah,
that's we great. We did.
So you guys, college. Obviously.
Educational.
Yeah, right? It was definitely educational. I mean, we, for down the line, not for learning your, like, times table, but.
Yeah, who needs those, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't use them now, so it's fine. But definitely down the line, it has helped us out a lot.
It really has, especially getting to go to market and seeing that world, too.
Mm-hmm.
So you started, he showed you how to do basic stitching, and you guys are not that old, so you've done it right on through your childhood and teen years then. You never stopped, huh?
Oh, definitely. Most needlepoint stores will have the little kits for kids where it comes with a huge needle, a huge canvas that's like,
right,
takes you 2 minutes to do, and threads. And I was sick one day. I got strep throat all the time when I was little. So I was sick and I was there and I was like, well, I'm bored. I want to do this. So I fussed and made enough noise and he gave in and he let me do one. So I was probably, five or six. So that's where it started.
And Grace just follows along. Whatever Preston's doing, I'm doing.
Well, because when she got strep throat, I ended up getting strep throat. So I would follow along.
We like to share.
So basically, we have your business is the result of your poor immune system, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's a perfect way of putting it.
See, there's a silver lining everywhere.
Exactly.
That's great. Yeah, I love on your website where you say the support, and then in parentheses, tolerance with a question mark of your mother, Allison. Yeah.
Well, she's been really great. When Barbara decided she wanted to leave the industry and go explore other things, and my dad was contemplating buying Barbara Bergston Designs, my mom was like, well, hey, why don't you do this with the girls? Like, they love needlepoint. You love needlepoint. It'd be something fun that you guys can do together, and then we can take it later on when we were adults and we've moved out of the house. So she kind of got the ball rolling with it, and she's really supportive. Like, we'll sit around. We were at the beach this past weekend, and we were all down by the pool, and we were just throwing out ideas. It helps. We've got her to ping off of. She pings off us. We all shoot each other's ideas down. We help them out. So it's really a family thing, and she's really supportive. She doesn't know as much about the industry, so every now and then she'll throw out ideas, and we have to nicely be like, that won't work.
That's not a thing, Mom.
Exactly. Exactly. But she's definitely very supportive of us. And anytime we have an idea, she's all for it.
Oh, so. Definitely. Like, so, she'll push our dad, like, hey, Grace or Preston have this idea.
Yeah, she's definitely our number one supporter.
Well, that's good. So for those of us, including me, who don't know, tell the Barbara Bergston story. Who is she? What did she do? And how did you come to own her designs?
Barbara Bergston, I don't know how long Barbara owned her company, but she owned Barbara Bergston Designs, which is still a large number of our canvases. She designed, and she had a lot of really cute stuff. Most of the Lily shifts were her designs, and we loved them. I met her my first market when I was about 11, and I fell in love with her. If you've ever been to market, her booth was pink and green, and she had jelly beans and candy. So I was all for it. So she had a lot of really fun, really girly stuff. And so when we were younger, it was perfect for us. And then she decided she wanted to leave the industry, and my dad was contemplating buying it. And again, my mom piped up and was like, why don't you do this with the girls? So he talked to us and was like, is this something you'd want to do? And we were like, I mean, yeah.
So he bought all of her designs. So that gave you an instant set of designs and an inventory to get started with then.
Yes.
Yes.
And we've taken some stuff that wasn't really what we wanted to do with the line, and we've set it aside. You can still get it, but it's not something we advertise greatly. We've taken some of her stuff and we've expanded on it. She's given us kind of a roadmap for what we want to do. And so we're keeping Barbara's design and her influence, but we're starting to slowly make it our own.
And how would you describe the aesthetic of that? So it compared to other needlework designs. So for someone that's not looking at it right now, you've described pink and green and girly so far.
Yes, definitely pink and green and girly. We're adding more colors, less pink and green. We're trying to get some blues in there. We like blue. But, I mean, we love animals. We always have. So we're trying to get some cute little animals in there. We're trying to make things that we can market towards people our age, because the needlepoint industry is older than us. But we're trying to show our friends and people who are our age that there is fun stuff for you. It's not your grandmother's needlepoint.
Right.
Like, there's stuff out there. So it's basically our line and our aesthetic is anything that between the two of us, we decide, you know, we like this, we support this, let's do it.
Yeah. I like the idea you were talking earlier about, you know, what the kids' canvases are. And I, you know, immediately had an involuntary shudder, because it is exactly the way you described it. You go to a craft store and you get this piece that's, it takes you 5 minutes, right? And then you're done and then you're bored again. So I love the idea of having subject matter and colors and things like that are appealing to even to younger girls too, that aren't going to bore them. You know, that is something that they do, you know, as an afternoon craft, and then they put it down and it's done. Like, you know, this is something they actually have to put some time and effort into, which, you know, I remember when I was a kid, growing up to be a needlepoint and craft person, something like that was never satisfying to me because you didn't really make something you wanted at the end of it. You guys are designing is something that when you're done with it, like that's something that's cool and you would actually like to have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do think the kits are great for the really young little girl who's just learning. Mm-hmm. But I mean, some of our designs are a little more complicated than others, but most of them are fairly simple and they're great. I think they're great learning tools. They're a great way to like get involved with it. And then you can progress to like other really complicated lines, kind of like how we've done. We started simple and we built our way up. But they're things marketed towards people our age that they'll like. And it's definitely something, I mean, I think, Grace, you can back me up on this or completely ignore whatever I say. But I think ours can be catered to young girls who are like 8 or 9, but it also works for girls in college. Like, when I say girls, guys can use it. Ours tends to be a little bit more girly, but we are girls. So,
I agree with Preston on that. We do tend to think we're like, hey, like I'm trying to push making little key fobs because that's what a lot of girls my age have. Like on our keys, we have these cute little key fobs, and I'm just like, that'd be something fun to make. Or like we look at wristlets, and Preston and I will ask our friends like, hey, do you like this idea for this? Like, would you use this? And that ends up going into our like thought process for new designs.
Okay, that gets into what I've been curious about, because this subject has come up from time to time in that how do we get younger people involved in needlework and what is it that interests them? And so that's how you basically your market research is ask your friends, would you want this kind of thing or that kind of thing?
Oh, this company takes a village, let me tell you. We ask my friends I'm in college, so we ask my friends. I'll ask my friends at different schools. Grace is asking her friends in high school. We ask, and we're like, hey, what do you think of this? What could we change? When we were coming up with some designs for wristlets, our dad sent us, because we use Lee's Needle Art, which is a part of Colonial Needle. They have really beautiful leather stuff. Mm-hmm. And they make these little wristlets, and they come in really fun colors. And so my dad, being the 50-year-old man that he is, was like, you know, we can do pink and green and blue and all these really fun colors. He was like, ask your friends. Tell me what they think. And so I was like, I don't think no.
Yeah.
And so we asked our friends, and they were like, you know, I'll do the needle point and the insert can be colorful, but I want a black and a gold wristlet.
Right?
That's it. So it's definitely, he's learning. We're trying to help him out, but it's definitely a lot of market research from our friends.
Coaching dad through life. There we go.
Oh, absolutely. All the time.
So when your friends, okay, so you do market research, but then do your friends stitch? Have you been able to make that conversion?
We're not there yet. We're trying.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
They'll see me stitch and they're like, oh, that's really cool. And I'm like, oh, do you want to try it? And they're like, no. And I'm like,
no,
okay.
Not really.
Well,
you know what? It's not an age thing though, because I had my friends do exactly the same thing. Oh, what are you doing? That looks really interesting. Oh, do you want it? No. No, I don't really want to do that. Thanks.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a mentality thing. You have to have friends who like to do arts, and needlepoint's not a craft sort of thing, but a kind
no,
of
No, I would agree. I would agree.
So, and a lot of my friends just aren't into doing like arts. Like I'll be like painting regular canvases to hang on my walls at school or something, and they're like, oh, that's cool, but they don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are fascinated with what we do. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I can show you how to do this. And they're just like, no, no, no. Like, I'll just watch you do it. Or y'all, like, I'll listen to you talk about it. But they won't actually want to do it.
So where do we have to go to make that conversion? What is it? I mean, we got to get younger people involved in this hobby. So what is it that's going to flip that switch? Do you have any idea? Maybe an unfair question, but.
That's a great question. And we've been trying to figure it out. We've been doing our best. One thing that we've really tried to do is, like I said, when we work with the Lee's needle art stuff, a lot of their leather work is self-finishing. So it brings the cost down for needlepoint, because that is a huge problem with needlepoint. Yeah. The canvas is expensive, the fibers are expensive, and then the finishing is expensive. So if you take the time to get the canvas and then the threads, you can do it. That's all well and good. But people, I know, I personally, and I'm not going to spend $120 to finish something. I don't have that money.
Right.
So by doing that, you can get our canvas or anybody else's canvas, you get your threads, and then you can get the Lee's needle art stuff or something like it that's self-finishing, and then you've completed a project. You have a final product that you can feel good about. So we think if we can get the costs down, especially of finishing, that could make a huge difference.
I like the idea that, so I think the jewelry and sort of like apparel but not apparel idea is kind of a cool one.
Yes.
I think that's an interesting way to go because, you know, there's only so many like silly trinkety kind of things that you can make that just kind of sit in your room and, you know, collect dust and, you know, they just sit there, right? But, you know, beaded bracelets and all, and things like that have always been, you know, sort of trendy. And it's just, you know, whatever the trend happens to be at the time, you know,
yeah, for sure.
Go in and out. But, right. But those leather, it's funny you mentioned that because those leather bracelets, especially the wrap ones, and or even if it's like a multiple around the wrist kind of wrap, those are everywhere, you know, especially with little sayings and like you said, having a gold element to it. You know, that's a great way because all you're doing is taking something that's already trendy and just kind of slipping in a little bit of, hey, you know, you could do a little bit of embellishment here and
exactly.
It would be cool. And then you've got somebody stitching and then they've done it and they say, oh, okay, well, I've done this small project that felt good to do and now I have something. You know, now I can do something else. But it's nobody's going to want to make a potholder or a dishcloth. It's just not happening.
Exactly. I think usable things and being able to have something that you like, something
yeah.
that like you're proud, like we're both learning to knit. And one of the things that we were told is they were like, don't start with a scarf. Cause we were both like, ah, scarf. Yeah. And someone told us, they were like, don't start with a scarf. You'll get halfway through it and you'll be like, this is never ending. I want to have a finished product. I want to have something I can look at and be proud of. And so mm-hmm. I think we took that to heart with our knitting as well as with our needlepoint.
So what are you knitting?
Yeah. That's
I'm attempting a hat. Grace, I don't know what you're working on.
I'm just starting because I picked it up at the January market. So I'm just making sure I still have it down and just getting that down before I start anything big.
You mean but just see, the knit and the pearl part?
Yes.
Yeah. The hats. You know, people wear hats. There's a lot, you know, especially like the knitted kind of floppy hipster.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah. So, you know, when your tension is all off, it's just going to contribute to the effect. So don't worry about that. Right.
Exactly.
But wears like a winter scarf, except in the winter, nobody, but people wear like slouchy hats all the time, even in the summer.
Exactly.
So that's a perfect thing because they're completely on trend.
Yeah, so that's what we're trying to incorporate into our needlepoint, things that people will want to use every day, want to see, like, just stuff that they'll like, and that's not going to, they'll finish it, and then it'll sit there.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to me because, you know, I see people post in the various Facebook groups about stitching a belt or stitching a college logo to put on the wall or whatever, you know, those kinds of things. And they don't interest me, like a belt, you know, a needle pointed belt just doesn't interest me. But so that's where the interest is for younger people, is something I can do, get done in my lifetime and actually use.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, one of our family friends at the beach, he is a rising sophomore in college and he's like, I want a needle point belt. And we're just like, okay. Like, we can help you out with that. And, like, I mean, he doesn't want to stitch it himself, but he just wants it.
We got to get him to stitch it himself, though.
Well, baby steps
we're definitely trying. Baby steps. But, yeah, I mean, I see it a lot at school. belts that guys' moms have needlepointed for them, wallets. I mean, the Smathers and Branson finished stuff that you can use is really popular. So we're trying to bring that and, like, hopefully people will do it themselves.
Yeah. But so inherently then, most of your designs are fairly small then?
Right now, most of our stuff is pretty small. When we went to market for the first time in January, a lot of the stuff we introduced was stuff that was specifically designed to be fitted in those leather boxes so that you could have, so people knew what they were getting for and like looking at. We do have a lot of ornaments, a lot of pillows, but a lot of our stuff is pretty small.
Well, that's, I mean, nothing wrong with that. I mean, I just was curious about that. Because that is, I mean, for me, I have bigger projects I'm working on, and then I have a couple, three ornaments that are in various stages of finish, and those are travel things. And I'll start traveling here in the next couple weeks and be doing it fairly regularly all the way through Thanksgiving. And then those pieces will get used quite a bit because I can take them places, and they do finish up fairly fast. So, it's a valuable part of it.
Exactly. So the small things, they're pretty, they're quick, they're easy to do. But like you said earlier, with our scheduling this was hard. So we're busy. So, but right. Being able to sit down at night and watch my Netflix and work on a little project here and there, get some stuff done, that's really nice. So we do like that. I know for the longest time I worked on a pillow and I would pick it up and do a big chunk, but then I would get frustrated because I didn't feel like I was getting anywhere. So then I would put it down for 2 weeks. So I feel like, again, when you can finish things, it's encouraging.
Yeah. Now you guys, speaking of the busy part, how do you guys pull this off? I mean, you're both in school.
magic. And,
okay, magic. Good. Okay, I'm writing that down. Magic.
No, it's definitely, it's hard. There will be times when we don't talk about business for weeks. And then there'll be times when we're messaging back and forth every day for 2 weeks on end because we've got something that came to us. We do it in our off time. Sometimes I'll text Grace when I'm in class. Don't tell my parents.
But it's, I'll be in class and somebody's like, who is texting you so much? I'm just like, it's my sister. She's texting me about business. Hold on.
I think one of the greatest things we did when we first started working was we made a Google Doc and it's shared between us and my dad. And anytime we come up with an idea that we think maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but here's an idea, we put it on this Google Doc so we remember it and then we can all see it. And that's been super helpful. So anytime we're like, what can we do? We'll go to that. And it's really helped with just being able to remember all the things. So when we finally get to it, when we're not at work or at school or taking tests or doing homework or whatever the heck we're doing, that's nice to have there.
And it helps too if you're all in different locations too.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Right. Google Docs is great for that.
Absolutely.
And then there's that rare chance that we are together and then we get inspiration together. Like when she came down to the beach to visit us while I was on spring break, we went to Charleston and we got some great ideas while we were in Charleston together and we like bounced off ideas off of each other.
Yeah, it's definitely really nice when I'm home and we can all sit down and talk together and bounce ideas off each other. It's also really nice because if I get inspiration at 1 a.m., I can walk down the hall and wake her up instead of having to wait for her to text me back in the morning.
There you go.
I don't know if she likes that.
So how do you do the production part then? I mean, somebody's got to actually paint these things.
Yeah, we all paint. I mean, my dad has been super helpful. He does a lot of, I mean, it's, we hate to say it, but he does a lot of painting for us just because I'm not home. I'm not there. Like, I very rarely have canvas there that I can sketch things out on, but I'll draw things out or I'll pull things up on my computer and then I'll send them pictures of what I think would be good, and then they'll tweak or whatever, and then Grace will paint it or my dad will paint it, and then we all collaborate again and see what we think. But he does the final quality check before things go into production and when they come back and before we ship to stores.
And you do everything through stores then?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Is that just because that's the way your dad's done it, or a choice? I mean, do you think about selling online, or do you have such a lineup of stores that you don't want to undercut them?
I'm not going to say that it's, we've got like a real good plan going here for this business, but, it's definitely, it's the way my dad's done it. It's the way we've seen things done. So that right now, that is what we're doing. We're not closed off to the idea of changing things up, but right now that's how we've done it. And we've had an awesome response. Everybody we've worked with and who orders from us is incredible, and they're super helpful and super supportive. So right now they're amazing, and we don't need to go online yet.
Yeah.
Well, and if you went online though, then you have to worry about fulfillment of orders. So all of a sudden, what is the fun part, which is the designing and the actual making of something, becomes packing boxes and taking care of logistics and, you know, to each individual person. So the amount of time that you need to invest in it, you know, grows exponentially then. So for the few extra sales that you make that way, for now, you know, where you are in your life, where you have other things that are your real life, you know, this sounds like a good option.
Yeah. For where we are now, going big might not be the easiest thing to do.
Grace will be painting all night long.
Oh yeah. When I have free time, I'll sometimes help our dad pack for Associated Talents, or I'll help him pack for two sisters. I'm just thinking of all the packing that would happen now.
Yeah. So this business that you guys have, there's a lot of overlap with what your dad does then, in terms of just everybody helping everybody out. But then his designs are his designs, and you have your own, or is there still a lot of overlap there?
There's separation between designs.
Yes. We are mostly a standalone operation. We're doing our own thing, but it's hard to say we're completely independent because he's so involved in our business and his own. By necessity, he has to be involved in ours because we're not together. We're both still in school. So there's a lot of stuff we can't do right now. But all of our business decisions for two sisters are made between ourselves and our dad, and sometimes our mom, if you count her input. But there's definitely a lot of overlap, and we've definitely learned a lot from him. He has given us ideas and has told us what to do, but it's definitely a learning experience, and he has paved the way for that.
Well, yes. I think that's the, for me, just as an outside observer, the most exciting part is at your ages, the business education you're getting, real world live business education, is invaluable no matter what you end up doing down the road. I mean, that's just terrific. Not very many people get that opportunity.
It has been really great because I want to go into business when I graduate from high school and college. And so he's been helping me, like showing me the e-commerce of everything and like behind the scenes. And it's been real helpful for me. So like when I go to college, I'm not completely like, I don't know what's going on. Like I need to learn all of this now. I have some background information.
Right.
The other thing too, you know, so I come from a manufacturing background, you know, especially right now. And I think that people tend to underestimate the amount of time that it goes into just the logistics of things. So, you know, you think about, oh, I'll design a canvas and I'll paint it and then, you know, that's done. And it's like you're saying before, that's just the beginning, because then you have to take orders, you have to process orders, you have to ship things, you have to do, you know, you have to do accounting. It's all of that infrastructure work that now you are accustomed to. That won't be a tremendous shock when you graduate and do this business or another business, where you realize that, oh, it isn't just the fun part, you know, it's all the things that allow you to do the fun part, you know?
Yes. I definitely think one of the biggest shocks for us. So our dad has his painting studio in the basement of our house. He's there every day. We see him all the time. But I think one of the biggest shocks, at least for me, was when we started doing this, I was like, you mean you do things other than paint? Like, I was like, you don't just sit in here and paint and like move on? No. Okay. There's business happening. All right. So that was, I don't want to go into business. So from what I have learned is what I'm going to learn, but it's definitely been awesome. She's learned a lot more than I have, but it's definitely been super nice because I'll never get that anywhere else.
No, you won't. Well, I mean, you know, and I think of, you guys know your way around a trade show. Not very many people get to that until they're well into their adult years, if they stay in business, and to learn what it takes to put together a display for a trade show and to prepare for it and work a booth throughout the show hours. I mean, that's an experience that I know I didn't encounter a trade show till I was well into my 20s. And now I'm so sick of them I could scream, but no. No, I actually enjoy them. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that kind of experience is just, and it really, it, you know, the, like you take a trade show and interacting with customers, no matter what you do as a career, that's good experience to have. That's really great.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you, the when you, shows, go ahead.
I just saying the trade shows have been great because you get to go. I went to my first trade show when I was 15, and it's just great watching everything happen, like see the moving bits and pieces that go behind it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah, it's a different world, that's for sure. So do you guys have a separate booth when you from your dad when you go, or do you just combine?
So far, we have been to 2 major trade shows. We went to California, San Jose, and then our dad took 2 sisters to Columbus. We were both, I was out of the country, I think.
And I was at camp.
Yeah, Grace is at camp. So when we went to San Jose, AT had their booth set up, and we had an outside wall of Associated Talents. Right now, we don't have enough designs to really take up a whole booth. Hopefully, we'll get there. And I mean, we could be there very soon. But right now, we go with Associated Talents and take up like a wall.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So where do you see the business in a couple of years? So what would you like it to be? And what would you like your participation to be in it? Let's say 3 years from now.
That's a great question. I think I don't really know where we're going with this business. I hope to still have it because I want to be a teacher. So I think this would be something fun to do when I'm not at school. We really enjoy working together, and it's definitely a lot of fun, and it's manageable right now. I always want it to be manageable. I want us to, if Grace decides that this is what she wants to do with her life and she wants to make it huge, awesome. Go for it. But I definitely think this is something we want to do within our everyday lives, even if it's not the main thing that we're doing. So as long as it's still manageable and we're still having fun and designing and having a blast together, then I think that's what's most important to us.
I think that's a really mature way of looking at it, too, because, you know, when you start a business and if it's doing well, the temptation is to take every sales opportunity and to grow it as quickly as you can. And the fact that you're growing it as quickly as you want it to grow and to be, you know, takes a little bit of restraint. So that's, you know, good. And I know part of it is just, you know, forced restraint because you also, you know, have other things to do and you want to have a life and be and not just like a working machine all the time. But that said, when you have a business and you see, you know, it starting to grow like that, it's difficult to say, all right, well, I'm going to keep it small, until I can invest the amount of time. Cause there's nothing worse than promising to a retailer that you're going to have 10 pieces and then only being able to provide 5. Like that's the quickest way to get, you know, to lose customers.
Exactly. So, we never want to get in over our head. So right now we're taking it one day at a time, and mm-hmm. that's probably how we'll continue to take it.
Yeah, that's really smart.
And so Grace, are you looking at it from a different perspective, or is this?
No, I fully agree with her. As long as we're not at each other's throats by the end of this, I want to continue this business as we are going and see where we can take it. And once we are both out of school and see where we can go from there.
As I say, this answer may completely change after Grace graduates. Who knows where we'll be.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you aren't at each other's throats. That's good.
Well, we didn't say that.
Oh. You are sisters. Yeah, all the time. It's kind of part, you know, like it's kind of your job.
It's weird working with your sister. I think that's the best word for it. It's super nice because she's definitely more laid back than I am, and I'm a little bit crazy. So, but she really helps. It helps that she knows me, and if I'm being insane, she can either go along with it or walk away. So it's definitely nice that we have a connection that most business partners wouldn't going in. But it's also super frustrating because every now and then we get annoyed with each other and we're like, no, just do it this way. So that in itself is sometimes a fun trial and error sort of thing.
So Grace, what's it like being in high school and having your own business? That's got to be... Do you share that much with your friends, or is that just something that nobody really knows about?
Well, at the beginning, nobody really knew about it until I went on this retreat with one of my clubs, and it was like, go around the circle and share a fun fact. I was like, oh, well, I own a small business with my sister. And there was like, I did not know that. And so now I'm more willing to share, and it's just like, people are always interested in what we're doing, but they just don't fully comprehend how we're doing it. But it's always very fun to come home and like, it's, if I'm just like, I don't feel like doing homework, I'm going to go talk to my dad about this design I have or something like that instead of just focusing on school.
Yes. And so when the class is boring, are we sketching out designs?
Allegedly, let's add allegedly.
I mean, in theory, if the class lecture is boring, I'll pull them up on my computer or sketch them out, and then I'll text them to her. And I think I've got a little bit more freedom in class than she does, but she's always quick with the text back.
Well, I'm really glad your parents won't hear this. So that's
good. I know.
Well, you know, there is an argument to be made though that certain times with certain lectures, having a little bit of you know, 10% of your brain occupied elsewhere actually helps you focus on what's going on. Because if it was just deadly boring and terrible, then you would completely zone out. So the idea that
we've got backup for our idea.
Yeah. If you've got your hands moving, doing something while it's like stitching while you were sitting in a lecture, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
You know, it occupies just enough of your brain that you can stay focused on something that maybe isn't, you know, the greatest, most interesting thing you've ever heard in your life. So I think it's kind of a functional thing.
Yeah. Christine will give you an out for everything. So after we're done, we'll give you her phone number. You just call when you need an out. She'll call.
We'll keep her around.
Okay, perfect.
There's no charge for that either. That's all on the house.
Oh, even better.
Well, you know, but I can appreciate that because there's plenty of times where I'm doing something at work and it is, you know, it's boring or I'm listening to a meeting. Like, meetings are the worst. And I could totally see myself doing exactly that, you know, sitting down and I'm sitting here trying to figure out, okay, well, if I do my meetings on conference calls and I shut my door, then I could be totally listening to this meeting and participating and active and stitching at the same time. And if I'm stitching, I probably might not want to kill myself as much because it's so boring and I hate it. So, and again, allegedly, this might be a good thing.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I'm obviously not sitting in the middle of, like, I don't know, learning how to build an airplane or something and doing this. But if I'm sitting in the middle of anthropology and we're watching a video, then that's a good time to sketch.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
I never do any of that. I'm always focused on the task, yeah.
Yeah, that is Gary. That is so true.
That's right. That's right, darn it.
Gary's a single tasker. He's not a multitasker.
Oh. Come join the dark side, Gary.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'll work on that.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So stitching, you guys stitch a lot?
Yes. Definitely more so now, but we've always stitched a lot.
So you stitch your own models then?
Yep.
And your dads too? are your dads model slaves?
No, unfortunately not. The problem with that is, I don't know if you've ever met the man or watched him stitch, but he can whip through things. And he'll come out with this new line, and we're both sitting there. We're like, oh my gosh, we love this. We want to stitch this. And he's like, already did it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll be sitting at market wanting to stitch something because, you know, everybody's stitching at market. I'll be like, oh, can I do that? And he's like, I already did that. It's finished. I'm just like, okay, then never mind.
We very much inherited his taste for needlepoint. So a lot of his favorite designs in his line, that's what we want to stitch.
Okay, this is going to be fun when we do a show with him, I can tell.
Yeah, yeah, we get point counterpoint. So do you stitch anybody else's designs? Do you find other designers that you enjoy?
Much to my father's wallet's displeasure. Yes, I think my favorite thing at market is walking around and making a list of everything I want and then coming back and showing him and him shooting it down.
Yes, but I just finished a Kate Dickerson seahorse ornament this summer, and then I have a large giraffe piece that I need him to help me get started on. But we do enjoy going around market and doing a little shopping for ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
That's good. Well, you have to do things that you enjoy, too, and if everything is work, then, you know. Plus, I think there's benefit to stitching other people's designs because you get to see sort of, you know, the difficulty level. You start, you know, you'll see other stitches that you may like or things about them that you know, what works about it and what doesn't work about it. And then you can use that to inform how you do your own designs, you know, because it's easy to make a design that appeals to you, but then you have to think from the customer's perspective, right? From the stitcher's perspective, what is this going to feel like, look like?
Yes.
It's fun, you know?
Yeah.
And so you find things about other people's pieces that are fun, or you'll find a piece that looks amazing, and then when you stitch it, you realize that, wow, that is not fun to stitch at all. I'm never going to use that element, you know, in what we do.
Yeah. It's also nice because every now and then, I mean, before we started Two Sisters, we loved to stitch other people's stuff just because we saw Associated Talent stuff all the time. It's around our house. It's what my
Literally.
Dad designed. Like, it's all over the place. So it was just nice and refreshing to see something new. So I think every now and then it's the same way with our own company. Like, we love our designs. Every single one of our designs has love and hard work put into it. But it's nice to see something new and different that's not ours.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely think that's a nice part about stitching someone else's designs.
Take us through the market, the trade shows. What are they like? Are they just rows of booths with people with canvases that they're trying to move? I mean, give us a little taste of the experience.
So we've been to markets in convention halls. I'm going to Dallas, which is the hotel setup, in September. So that'll be my first show like that.
But that's where everybody has a room and you go from room to room?
Yes. Yes, sir. That is what I've heard, and I'm very excited about it. But so convention centers, you walk into a huge conference or convention hall, and there is just booths everywhere. And normally there's a decent portion that is knitting, and we go there eventually. But otherwise, it's just rows and rows and rows of booths stacked with needlepoint canvases. They're hung on the
fibers.
Walls. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's fibers, too, threads, all that fun stuff. I mean, it's so colorful at market. It's like a kid in a candy store. It really is.
I would think after a while your eyes would just go crazy.
That's why you have to walk around with your list so you don't forget things. Like,
oh, okay.
And we like to do it in sections. Well, between the three of us with my dad, we'll try to leave the booth in shifts. So there's always somebody at our booth, but we can go around and we'll do an aisle and then we'll come back. And then we'll do another aisle later on. And then so you kind of break it up a little bit. Okay. I don't know how the shop owners do it for 3 days straight. They are impressive. but I don't think I could do that.
Now, these trade shows I go to, you don't buy or sell anything. You just see. So, but these shows, you actually can walk out with canvases and, I mean, is actual buying and selling done?
It depends on the company or the business. Some people have cash for carry, and some people you just make an order and then they'll ship it to you later. Last market, we exclusively did orders. We didn't have any cash and carry, but Associated Talents did. So we know how to do both of those.
Okay. So do you prefer, now that you've done a couple of them, do you prefer that you'd like to show up with a stack of canvases that you can just move right there on the spot?
I think so. With some of our smaller pieces, like some of our ornaments, I think it would be nice because, like, they are smaller. So it's something that the shops can go back from market with and have it ready to go for their customers. So I think that's nice when there's just a few things that, like, and even if they're old or new, just a few little things that you can go back and it's kind of like a, look what I got at market for the customers.
Yeah.
So then they get excited or they'll want to order it from you, and I really think it's nice. So hopefully we'll get some of that going.
And then, so after this most recent one, then did you come back and paint your brains out for days?
We didn't. I believe we use two production companies.
Okay.
Which I don't know as much about that as my dad does. but we do all the stuff. We ship to stores, whatever. But while I'm in school and while she's in school, my dad is doing this all day long. He definitely paints his brains out.
But so some of your products, because I don't fully understand this whole painted canvas thing. I mean, I understand stitch painting where somebody is actually counting threads, but I also understand a lot of it is done by some production company. I assume some kind of a stenciled process or some silkscreen process.
As far as I'm aware, our painting services, all of our stuff is hand painted.
Okay.
That is what I know.
So. Grace, what I can tell more. Is our dad, huh?
She may know more.
I know our dad paints the original design, like what our first one we want it to look like, and then he'll send that to our production company, and then I don't know what they do from there. I assume it's hand paints, like Preston said.
So you have a company of people who just paint.
I think so.
All you know is they come back in a box. Okay.
Exactly. Yes. That is some of the business job. Part that we haven't fully dove headfirst into yet. Our dad is still handling some of that.
Okay. Okay. Now, there's just so many aspects to this that it's, I find it all very interesting because it's.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. Yep. Well, this has been fun. By golly, learned something here. I'm impressed. I'm impressed with you two young ladies going to school and keeping a business going like this. You know, regardless of how much help you get from your dad, you still have to be on top of it and keep it moving. I think it's impressive that you're doing that. And I think it's interesting that trying to involve or at least get interest from young people, because that's just so critical. I mean, it's not the only hobby that's in that position. My dad is a train hobbyist, model train hobbyist, and we have discussions. He works in a hobby store. He's retired not long ago, but and he talks about the same thing, that there's nobody, young people aren't doing model trains anymore, and literally that hobby is dying. And and you know, the same discussion. How do you get young people involved in model trains when trains are nothing more than a nuisance that's keeping them from, you know, from getting from point A to point B because the freight train's so stinking long? I just think it's exciting that you guys are involved in this, and just your mere presence is going to help keep the hobby going by at least exposing young people to this hobby, because it really is, it is a great hobby. And I think, I mean, I could have never done it in college, but I just think how many, hours I would have sat and stitched in a college dorm room. Of course, I'd have been laughed right out of the building, but, but you know, just how relaxing that would have been and what an escape from college studies it would have provided.
Right.
And,
oh yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah.
And sometimes it just takes really one or two people to make a trend, you know? It doesn't take a whole lot of people doing it. If you're doing this and you're doing it visibly, then, you know, somebody will pick it up and then somebody else will pick it up. And before you know it, it becomes a thing. It's just plugging away at it long enough that people catch on.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully, like, now that all of my friends know that we're doing this, hopefully they'll get a little bit more involved. I don't know. I can't make promises, but I mean, we love needlepoint. We've always have. So we don't want to see it become a dying industry. And so when we were given this opportunity, we jumped at it and we're really excited to be here and just do our best, do what we can to help the industry.
Yep. I think it's great. So twosistersneedlepoint.com is where people can go to see your designs and what we have, Facebook and Instagram, all the usual stuff. So that's good.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
If you want it, order it from your local needles work store. By golly, they'll get
it. Yes, sir.
All right. All right, ladies. Thanks a lot. Really appreciate you taking the time and sharing this with us. It's been enlightening. So thank you.
Thanks so much for having
us.
Thanks, guys. It's a pleasure.
All right.
It was nice. I hope we get to meet you one day.
Yes, I'm sure.
We'll be around somehow.
We will be around.
All right. And thanks to everybody for listening. And this has been Fiber Talk. See you next week.